Salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, boys and girls, right off the bat here on August the 7th, 2017, at 7.01 a.m., I got to thank Pete for my new glasses. So, Pete, if you're checking us out here, Pete came all the way from somewhere south of Lexington, Kentucky, I think, drove about five and a half hours to Lima, Ohio, to be part of the great conference. I guess we could use the term conference. Pastor Mike Spaulding at Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio, and brought me some glasses, some real ones. From look at this, they fold, they bend, they all kind. So I guess everybody got tired of me wearing those other dollar store ones. This is from a real. Are they optometrist or whatever it is? Anyway, Pete got them on today. Thanks. I'm revved up and ready to run, ready to roll, rock and roll here this morning. But we had a great weekend. Russ Dizdar, Tom Dunn, Mike Spaulding, Bodea, oh my goodness, who am I forgetting? It was really something. And two things that always popped out at me again this weekend. Number one is, why don't people care? Why don't people care? Why don't Christians care? And I think I've figured it out. Christians don't care because we're looking at the wrong end of the game. We are focused all the time on the end game. How's this thing end? I learned this in my education through my teaching. I taught handicapped children for a long time, 20-some years. I need a shave. And I learned this, that people learn different ways. And some people are, they can't. If you're telling a story, have you ever been watching a story, a movie with one of your children, or usually a child, and the child during the movie says, "Daddy, how does this end? How does this end?" Because for a child sitting there watching the movie, they want to know how it ends so they can relax and put the pieces together. They want to see the end so that the movie makes sense. They don't want to be sitting there the whole time wondering how it ends. Now, there are others who don't want to know how it ends. They enjoy the process going along. You know what's happened to most of us? Most of us think we know how it ends, so we're not curious about it anymore. And because we know how it ends, we win in the end. He wins. We win. Because we know how it ends, it influences the way that we play today. We play. So people don't want to come to prophecy conferences because we've messed up prophecy. We think that now means finances or future telling, not understanding that prophecy is the game plan or how it all comes together, how all the parts fit together. We don't understand it. And so we have a world full of shallow Christians. Now that takes some of you back right there because it sounds like I'm saying I'm not. Well, I'm not a shallow Christian. I'm not. And when I went to that conference, I sit there and I'm amazed when I hear Russ Dizdar talk and think, oh my goodness, how come I don't know this? How come I don't know that? I've been in church 20-some years. How come I don't know this? How come nobody ever taught me? And even more than that, why aren't pastors curious? Why aren't pastors here? I used to go to, when I was coaching, I used to go to football clinics. All coaches go to football clinics. And the reason they go to football clinics is they want to learn what the other guys are doing and why they're being successful at what they're doing. In fact, the speakers when you go to football coaches are those who've been successful. They put up on the stage and guys tell you what they do and how they do it and why they do it. And then guys usually go back and then they incorporate that. Now, pastors probably do that. They go to pastor church conferences. But I've never been to a pastor's church conference. It's about how to build a church. that's the conferences they go to. And I walked away again this weekend. As I said, I'm encouraged, but I'm discouraged. I Facebook Live, these things are amazing. These phones are amazing. I sat on the front row, second row, and I Facebook Lived Russ Dizdar's presentation. That was Saturday evening, I think. About a 45-minute presentation Russ Dizdar made. And some people watched it. And I was amazed, you know, when somebody comes in on a Facebook Live, it tells you so-and-so's now joined, so-and-so's now joined. And I'm watching and I'm amazed. Like, oh, my goodness. What if he gets this? What if he gets curious about this? What if the Lord gets a hold of him? A lot of times, you know, that's amazing. How many people didn't care? If I had to put on a picture in there of, I mean, you pick out what it was. Yeah, I could put on the Kardashians. It would have been hundreds watching live. If it had been Kim Kardashian live, are you kidding me? Bandwidth probably wouldn't have held it. Or if it had been church and I'd put on there Rick Warren live, it would have been so many people watching I couldn't. And I had Babe Ruth, Russ Dizdar, explaining to us what's going on. And nobody's curious. Nobody.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Hey, good morning. Hey, heard a really good message by Pastor David Langford here recently, and he said he said what we see being built out there with these churches is what man is building, not what God is building. I think that's the bottom line.
I think it is too, George. And I don't want to besmirch every pastor. I don't want to. I'm telling you. I was so blessed yesterday, Pastor. Oh, I see Pastor Mike's in here. I was blessed yesterday at Pastor Spalding's church. You know, he heard Russ Dizdar on this show talk about how we don't pray anymore. We don't pray in churches anymore. And so Pastor Mike took it to heart and says, man, you know, that's right, we don't. And so yesterday, the first 30 minutes of his church service was prayer. Pastor Mike, can you jump in here real quick, Pastor Mike? I don't know if you're, maybe you just listen to it off in the distance. Prayer.
Hey, Coach.
Not hyped up praise and worship music and jumping around. Prayer, 30 minutes of it. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, if it was 30 minutes of broadcasting to God, it was only half a prayer because prayer includes listening to Him.
He made that point. They made that point. They made that point. Prayer isn't just you talking and asking and begging. Prayer is taking time to hear His answer, to hear what He says to you. It's a two-way street. It's a communication. And the first 30 minutes of church was prayer. Wow, that was unique. And you know what else was unique? Someone would have a prayer request, and the professional Christian Pastor Mike Spalding, he wouldn't want to pray. He would pick out somebody in his congregation and say, hey, Joe, would you pray for Terry's issue? See, that's hands-on training. Hands-on training. We don't know how to do it. But I digress. Because I'm in Psalm 2. I just can't get away from Psalm 2, okay? Can't get away from it. So I wanna read Psalm 2 real quick, Jared. See if we can pull this up. Then I'm gonna blow your socks off. I got some audio and some video to show you today that I just have to show you. It's so enlightening, man. Okay, it's so enlightening. We still don't get that there's two teams. We still don't get this thing. We still don't get it. Devil has a team. God has a team. Two teams are playing. We still don't get it. And we think that the devil's team is only trying to steal our finances and steal our health. We think that the devil's team is only interested in a frontal attack on us. Nothing could be. Jared, go to Psalm 91. Let's go there real quick. Because Russ Dizdar, Michael Bodea, and Pastor Mike, everybody said the same thing. Everybody said the same thing. All power is given unto us. All power. Come on, church. All power is given unto us, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. All power has been given unto us. and we act like we have none. We act like the devil has all the power, and all we can do, hopefully the Lord will protect us from all this power that the devil has. That's our mentality in church. Mentality. Jared, are you looking for Psalm, what did I say? Oh, my brain. 91. I'm trying to find that for me there, bud. Let's see. There you are. Thank you. He who dwells in the secret place, the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. And surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He surely shall. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield, thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by the noonday, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth the noonday. You don't have to be afraid about anything. See, he who dwells in a secret place, the Most High, listen, that's not a hiding place. That's not somewhere that you go and hide from the devil. When you dwell under this in the secret place of the Most High, that protection covers you wherever you go. See, look where he says you're going. The terror of night, arrow by day. Pestilence of walking in darkness, destruction of waste of noonday. Thousands shall fall at the right side, 10,000 at the right hand. It's not going to come near you. Why? It's not going to be, no evil's going to befall you. It's not going to come near you. Why? Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High. There's your habitation. You're dwelling in the Lord. You're not hiding in the Lord. You're dwelling in the Lord. There shall be no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge of you, keep you in all your ways, that they shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest they dash the foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, upon the young lion and the dragon. You shall trample them under your feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he's known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer, and I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. See, we think dwelling in the secret place of the Most High means going and hiding. To dwell means to live. To dwell, you live under that shadow. And you live under that shadow, that covering, that protection of the Almighty. And you go into the fortresses of the doomed and the damned. And you fight. And his promise is no evil's going to befall you. No plague's going to come near you. Wow. Give his angels charge over you. Guide us in all of our ways. So no evil befall you. No plague come near us. We are so powerless in the God is so powerful. God lives inside of us, and we are so powerless. Disunified. Churches don't like each other. Pastors don't like each other. We fight over doctrine. We fight over meaning. We have family feuds. That's what we're going to call church on Sunday. Family feud. These go hide in their church, and they go hide in their church, and they go hide in their church, and they go hide in their church. See you next week. We'll come back, and we'll hide some more, and hide some more, and hide some more, and pray the devil doesn't get us, and pray we're all safe, and see you next week. And meanwhile, everybody's getting eaten alive around us. Psalm 2. Somebody say, Coach, you're preaching pretty good right now. You don't have to say it. I know I am. I got my new glasses. Why do the heathen rage, Jared? The people imagine a vain thing. Boys and girls, oh Lord, the word is so rich. Jared, look up vain. Vain, you're so vain. Vain. Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Vain. Vain, having or showing undue excessive pride in one's appearance or achievement. That's not what we're talking about. Different kind of vanity, okay? Let's go down to number 2. In an irreverent or blasphemous manner. Well, Jared, how about number 2 and 3 at the top? You with me, guys? Vanity, marked by futility or ineffectualness, unsuccessful, vain efforts, having no real value. If you're taking the Lord's name in vain, ain't cussing. Come on.
Lack of seriousness,
having no real value, idle, worthless, foolish, silly, to no end, without success or result. Her efforts were in vain, an irreverent, blasphemous manner. Shall not take the name of your Lord, your God, and don't call yourself a Christian and deny the power there. Warns us in 2 Timothy, huh? Those who had a form of godliness denied the power thereof. From such men, turn away, flee it. Flee it, get away from it, get away from it. Jared, let's go back to song 2. Just thought words mean things. It might be a good idea. Why do the heathen rage? Listen, the heathen are raging and the people. Those are two different, the heathen and the people. Those are two different sets of folks. The heathen are raging and the people are imagining worthless stuff. Anybody think I'm reading that wrong? See, it's not the heathen raging that's the problem. It's the people imagining a vain thing. Imagining a real little God. Imagining we can't do anything about it. What can we do? The end's coming. I've seen the end of the book and we win. Imagining a vain thing, a worthless thing, a thing with no power. Churches are filled with vain things. Somebody say amen. I'm going to give you a chance right there. Somebody say amen. Churches are filled with vain things, meaningless, worthless, powerless things. Wow. Boy, is that a revelation. The kings of the earth set themselves up and the rulers take counsel together. The kings of the earth and the rulers work together. Against who? The Lord. And against who else? His anointed. You, the anointed. It's a war. I know who wins. We win in the end. Then David said, Lord, let us break their bands. Let's cast off those cords from us. Because our daddy's sitting in the heavens and he's laughing about this whole thing. The Lord's going to eat them, man. He's going to have them in derision. Supposed to. He's supposed to have them in derision. We have the ability to put them in derision right now and we're imagining vain. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I, David said, my king upon my holy hill. And I'm going to declare this decree to all these heathen. Wow. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee, and you have all the power that you need. Ask of me, and I shall ask of me. And I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance. And the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Name it, claim it, huh? Ultimate name it, claim it. You shall break them with a rod of iron. Talking about us against the evil. We shall dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. But be wise, not vain. Be wise now. O ye kings, be instructed, O you pastors, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Can I tell you this? We have reverse trust. Our reverse trust is in the devil. We think he's going to win right up to the very end. It's just going to be a last second. 3-point shot by the Lord's going to pull it out right at the end. Up until then, he's ruling and reigning. And we just got to just pray we get raptured out of here, Lord. Just rescue us. Vain. It's vain, meaningless. And the Lord said, don't take my name in vain. Don't you take my power and use it for meaningless tripe. Don't you do that. Amen, boys. Amen. All right, that's off my chest. That's off my chest.
The only way that power can be used is you got to plug into it.
You got to apply it, brother. Okay. I got a series of videos that ties together. I hate to do this, Chip. I got to do it. Okay. Series of it. Because we're talking about the heathen raging and the people imagining a vain thing. Jared, play the first video, America Was Stolen. America Was Stolen. I'm going to connect some dots for you today. Hey, guys. Something special about Donald Trump. I didn't say holy. I didn't say righteous. There's something special about that guy. And wouldn't it be funny if we, Christians, self-righteous, holier-than-thou Christians, missed our time of visitation? Could it be that Donald Trump is a gift from God and we don't recognize it? Not him. Not him. Could he be that bouncer at the bar and we don't recognize it? I wonder how many churches regularly are praying for that man. Hey, we're probably condemning him because he said, I'll see you one time. Somebody say amen. It's okay. Somebody, you can say amen.
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 No, we're not lifting him up. We're not lifting him up as our last chance. We're not lifting him up as our time of visitation. As someone's going to deliver us. We have, I got some stuff's going to cure your toes. You stay with me, okay? I'm sorry if there are videos. Other people say it better. I'm going to let them see it. This is a little video. America Was Stolen. Go ahead and play that.
Hi, Steve here. When I sat and watched the news tonight, it made me want to gag. All the pundits and the so-called experts are ready to set a gallows up for President Trump. If all you do is watch mainstream media, ABC, CNN, you know, you don't have a clue what's really happening in America, and especially if you believe any of it. For everyone with the memory of a goldfish, let me expose the facts so you can really understand what's going on. This government in the United States over the last several decades has been the biggest sham, a charade, a hoax, perpetrated on any country in the history of mankind. We've not been a democracy for a long time. We've only had the appearance of a democracy. And it's only been in the last election that it's become very clear to those with their eyes wide open. Now, sit down because I'm going to shock you. The people who have really run America for several decades are an elite globalist-minded group of people with more money than you could ever dream of having. And even if you did, it wouldn't even get close to what you could have imagined. The government of America has never been set up to work for the people. It's been set up to do the will of the elite and the globalists. Barack Obama was put into office not by the will of the people, but by the will of the globalists. I realize that there are some people who think that Donald Trump was put in there by the elites, but if that were true, they wouldn't be going after him like a demon-possessed maniac. Something you need to understand is the elites own the media. Six corporations own all the media outlets. If you watch mainstream media, and I do sometimes because I like to see how they spin their little web of deception, the elites own politicians in Washington. They own the media. They own universities. They own everybody who they want to do their bidding. Obama was not protected by anyone but the elites. Hillary was expected to win, and even the elites and the globalists were caught off guard by a huge rally around Donald Trump. George Soros, one of the most notorious and better known globalists with deep, deep pockets, started working with former President Obama organizing Indivisible to disrupt Trump's agenda. It started almost immediately after they knew Donald Trump would be president. But Obama was already spying on the president throughout all the election process. In fact, Obama was spying on all Americans throughout his entire term. In 2011, Dennis Kucinich, a Democrat congressman from Ohio, disagreed with Obama on authorizing a war against Gaddafi. Kucinich learned his calls had been recorded and leaked to the Washington Times. Kucinich admits Donald Trump is probably correct when he says he was wiretapped or surveyed. The whole story of Russian collusion in the election was just another smokescreen devised by the globalists. And the subversion and the obstructionist anarchy going on by Obama, the Clintons, the Democrats, some Republicans, they don't even try to hide it. And then Obama lawyers that are tied to George Soros formed a group to battle Trump. Battle what? Battle to remove him from the White House. Now, let me point out two separate things that Obama did right before he left the White House. He expanded surveillance powers right before he leaves the White House. Why did he do this? This has never been done before. And what it did was it created new rules that would allow the National Security Agency, NSA, to share information with 16 other agencies that make up the U.S. intelligence community. Now, all these other agencies can get raw feeds of undoctored NSA intelligence. Now, a much larger number of intelligence analysts have access to NSA surveillance, which is captured in large quantities, and it's not even subject to warrant requirements. It's a free-for-all in the intelligence community. It's a wild west of being able to spy on all Americans anytime they want to. The NSA used to apply privacy protections before they would ever release to other agencies. Now they don't have to do it. The next thing Obama did was he rushed in a fury to fill dozens of federal jobs right before leaving office. He filled nearly 100 federal government vacancies during a frenzy in his last weeks in office. He deliberately flooded more government positions so that more of his appointees would be there when President Trump entered the White House.
Heathen or aging.
Maybe
Heathen
some of these politicians aging. Were rewarded for favors, or maybe they were just there to be obstructionists and to help do his bidding from outside the White House now. Obama has made it easier to obstruct, hinder, and interfere with all positive results that President Trump would try and accomplish.
Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Impeach 45.
Trying to overthrow an election.
Impeach 45.
The rallies, the protests, the riots, the Democrats, and their words of impeach, investigate, continue at a fever pitch. People talk about, we never had a president like this. They're right. We've also never had a former president who's tried to interfere, obstruct, and literally create more division than we've seen with Obama. The globalists believe the old adage, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to accept it as fact. If we do, America may be finished. The globalists and all their minions, including Obama, Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Schiff, and all the dirty, bought and paid for Republicans, will continue to push their narrative and create dissension in America until the globalists get what they want. Control of America back in their hands. Don't believe what you hear in mainstream media.
It's Cyber Monday, a day on the retail calendar that can be enjoyed from a desk or the couch.
Enjoyed from a desk or a couch.
Enjoyed from a desk or maybe the couch.
Enjoyed from a desk or the couch.
Enjoyed from a desk or the couch.
Enjoyed from the desk or even the couch.
Enjoyed from a desk or the couch.
From a desk or the couch. From a desk. The couch
from a desk or a couch
from a desk or your couch
from a desk or the couch
from a desk or the couch
from a desk or the couch
from a desk or a couch
from a desk or the couch
from a desk or a couch
from a desk or a couch from a desk or a couch.
You need to remember who they work for. We really have to guard our hearts and our minds and not allow the hatred that's being stirred up in this country to cause us to fight our fellow Americans. You're either for America or you're against America. When these politicians start to spew their lies, they're not for America and they're not for you or me. President Trump is having to fight outside and inside.
I think it was disgraceful that the intelligence agencies allowed any information that turned out to be so false and fake out. I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. I think it's a disgrace. That information that was false and fake and never happened got released to the public.
Mainstream media and the very politicians that are supposed to be working with him for us. They pretend to care about America, and they pretend with every word that comes out of their mouths, they pretend to be concerned. But all they're doing is pretending. We all better pray that the globalists' efforts fail in America. After all, this is our home. It's where we live. Think about it.
Amen. Amen. Okay, now, guys, something fantastic is going on in the good old U.S. of A. People are waking up. Pastor Mike, people are waking up. Conferences all across America, people are waking up, but not enough of it. We have to do a better job of networking, using the internet while we can to wake people up. Now, I'm going to – you think you hear about what do they call them? Intelligence agencies, the deep state. Hey, that's a conspiracy theory, isn't it? The deep state. Haven't some of us been talking about this stuff for years and years and years and laughed at and laughed at and laughed at? And now it's mainstream and media's talking about the deep state. And Trump's talking about the deep state and all this conspiracy, this men behind the curtain, the Bilderbergers and all of them, the Vatican, the Jesuits. Well, now they're actually admitting this thing's out there, right? They're now admitting it. Hey, things are looking a little bit different here all of a sudden. People are beginning to waking up to the point, maybe they don't know why, but they turned out in droves to put America first, America great again. And the globalists, yeah, the real globalists, I'm going to get to it. Hang on with me. Are you sitting down? I didn't know this. Jared, go to the next one. It says 17 agencies. Did you guys know this? I know you didn't know that. The deep state, the swamp, drain the swamp, Larry, drain the swamp. There's more than the CIA and the FBI. Did you know this? Did you guys know this? 17 agencies that make up the U.S. intelligence community. And what do we call that? The deep state, the swamp. No longer a conspiracy theory. It's right out there for us. It's right out there, but we don't want to believe it. The church is hiding. Oh, Lord, protect me. Oh, Lord, don't let the IRS come after me, Lord. Well, I'll tell you, if you're making a difference, they're going to. They're going to. Why? They're the arm of the devil. They're an arm of the devil. If you're doing things for the Lord, they're going to come after you. Yes.
Coach, you're spot on. After watching that video, it occurred to me, and this is going to ruffle some feathers, not with your crowd, but certainly with the church crowd. Too many Christians view and use Jesus as an anesthetic. They do live in this cloud, this fantasy land of, as long as I have Jesus, everything's going to be okay. Yep. They forget that this is the same Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you follow me, you're going to understand how to live your life, and you're going to understand how to live it in truth. All of these things that you're talking about today, that's the reality of the world that we live in. Every church and every pastor in America should be talking about these things and informing and educating their people.
Amen.
Simply, they are not.
They are not, Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike Spaulding. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you. Guys, are you sitting down? Y'all sitting down? Jared, let's scroll here a little bit. Did you guys know this? Not just the CIA, not just the FBI. No. Deep state that they told us was tinfoil hat, not really true. All of a sudden, we're talking about the deep state. Why, there's the officer of the Director of National Intelligence. Did you know that? No. We'll go to the next one. Come on, Jared, we're going to roll through these fast. Well, then there's the CIA, and then there's the National Security Agency, then there's the Defense Intelligence Agency. And then hang on. Guys, these are just denominations. It's just denominations of the deep state. That's all it is. Federal Bureau of Investigation, Department of State, Bureau of Intelligence and Research, and there's the Department of Homeland Security, Office of Intelligence and Analysis, and there's the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the Office of National Security Intelligence, and the Department of Treasury, and its Office of Intelligence and Analysis, and then there's the Department of Energy, and its Office of Intelligence and Counterintelligence, and then there's the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, and then the National Reconnaissance Office, and then the Air Force Intelligence Surveillance and Reconnaissance, and the Army Military Intelligence, and the Office of Naval Intelligence, and then the Marine Corps Intelligence, and then the Coast Guard Intelligence. Just denominations. You think they share information with each other? Think they do? You think they all gather the same intelligence? You think they're all doing this just to protect little old you? Think they love America first? You understand, folks? This is a nest of Luciferians, tinfoil hat stuff. Don't want to believe it. Churches won't talk about it. The heathen are raging. And while the heathen are raging, the people are imagining worthless, meaningless tripe in our churches. Jump in here. I got something else to show you. Go ahead. Jump on in here, somebody.
Yeah, you know, old George Soros was part of that overlord.
Larry, quit reading my notes.
And
go ahead.
A lot of people are not aware that the Clinton family is married into the Soros family.
Larry, quit reading my notes, Larry. Quit reading my notes. Hey, Larry, did you get that information from the CIA? Did they sneak in here last night and check out my computer and know what I was going to talk about today? Hmm? This is good, isn't it? And did you guys know this, that there were 17 of these dudes? 17? No, nobody. No deep state guys there, right? Did you know this? Did I talk about this on Friday? Do you know the White House is bugged? You know that Obama, before he left, bugged the White House? And a lot of the leaks that are coming out of the White House are not coming from people. The place is bugged. They're hearing every conversation that the president is having. The place is bugged. And so where's Donald Trump now? Well, he's on vacation. Why is he on vacation? They're debugging the White House. They're trying to find all these things. We don't have any idea how evil President Obama was. Guys, bear with me a second. How does a guy go from community organizer to a local state representative to a senator, the president of the United States in 6 years.
He's really smart.
Yeah, he's really smart and handsome and articulate. Yeah.
And he smells Al Biden's smells good.
If you guys think Trump's part of the deep state, I don't even know what to tell you. He's not pure as the wind-driven snow. I can tell you that. Okay, I got something. It's 12 minutes. But when somebody says it better than you, you got to let them say it. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a talk show host by the name of Lionel. I don't know if you ever heard of him. I love listening to the guy. This thing's 20 minutes. I'm not going to play all of it. But I sat here with my jaw dropped. So, are you kidding me? Listen to this 12-minute screed by Lionel. Now, I'm going to tell you this. He ain't a Christian. Probably not saved. But you're going to be scratching your head as you listen to him. Go ahead, Jared.
Every time I turn on the TV, they're talking about the deep state. My friends are talking about the deep state. I don't know what the deep state is. I think I do. Is that a conspiracy thing? Is that one of those tinfoil hat things? The deep state? Where is it? Deep throat? Deep state? Is that like the G-spot? Where is that? Deep state? Is that like West Virginia? What is it? The deep state? I think it's something nefarious. I think maybe it's something to do with maybe. Maybe there's another level of government. Maybe there's something. Maybe this is what all these people have been talking about. Maybe this is what that character Alex Jones has been talking about and all these people that I've been laughing at for the longest time. Yeah, I did. I laughed at them. Whenever they were talking about people like, you know, with JFK or 9/11 and all this stuff, I'm saying, what are you talking about? I read the paper. I get USA Today. I get CNN. What are you talking about, this parallel government, rogue government, shadow government, state within a state, deep state? What the hell are you people talking about? But you know, there were just a few of them before. There were a few. And now it's everywhere. Everybody's talking about the deep state. Jesus, there may be something to this. In all those years, I laughed at these folks. I said they were crazy. Some of them are crazy, but what if they're right? You know, it's interesting, this deep state stuff. There must be something to it. And therein is the beauty of what is happening right now. For the first time in recent history, everybody's talking about the deep state. And I know you may not necessarily be that up on what it means. You kind of know. You know, you kind of know. It's like the boogeyman, sort of. When you were a kid, there's these bad people out there, and whenever Catholics talk about the devil, do you think there's really a Satan? Do you think there's really a Lucifer? Well, I think there's a sense of evil, and we kind of know, but we don't know. We don't know about the personification of something in a group. I mean, is there deep state? Do they have a letterhead? Do they have an organization? Do they meet? Do they know they're in the deep state? Do they call each other the deep state? Is it like the mafia? You know, the mafia never uses the term the mafia. They never use it, ever. They've never used the term, ever. They don't do it. This thing of ours, our thing, the life, LCN. You know, you get made, you get straightened out, you get your badge, you get your button. You know, that sort of thing. But you're not, you don't use this term. But they'll tell you, well, we may not use the term, but there is this group that you refer to as the M word. Now, deep state, the origins, Turkey, Darren Devlet, sounds almost Gaelic, and I know I am not pronouncing it correctly. I know I am not saying it correctly, but in the correct spelling here, Darin Devlet. How about Ergenekon, Ergenekon, which was the Turkish version of Gladio. Gladio? Is that like a bag? You mean like a Gladio bag? Gladio? Is that a clown? Gladio? Is that like Silvio, the Dylan song? My friend, you and I have got a long way to go. At least you've got a long way to go to catch up. But I'm glad you're here, because welcome to the conspiracy theory world. Here's your tin foil hat. Even though it's aluminum, we haven't used tin in years. You're officially in the club. How does it feel? A lot of apologies. It's like the 12-step program. You know, one of them is you got to go and apologize to people, I guess, or something. Though I've never received apologies from a lot of people who should have, but I digress. What you're doing right now is you're finding out what we've been talking about for years, and don't feel bad, because for the first time, and I don't care why it took this long, it doesn't matter to me. It's just like all of a sudden people they recognize something. It's like fads. Remember that? Like with diets. Low fat, low carb. High fat, high carb. Vegan, vegetarian, flexitarian, pescatarian, ovo-lacto. You know, you go through those things. Yoga, Pilates, kettlebells, strength training, circuit training. We just go through these things. And we get libertarianism was the last kind of a political fad, which really means nothing. But deep state starts with Turkey. That's where you really want to get. Now, let me just explain something to make it even more complicated. We'll start with Turkey. The difference between kind of a post-Ataturk Erdogan version of it is that their deep state is basically criminality, their mafia, their organized crime. We have that deep state faction as bankers, financiers, central bankers, central banksters, oligarchs, global financial types. But think of the deep state as that nexus, that connective tissue, if you will, between the government, the Potemkin village government, the government that we think is there, the prototypical, archetypal, Washington, D.C. kind of government, and corporate, Wall Street. Oligarchs, financial elites, that connective tissue, that nexus, think of that, because it's all based on money. Money, banks, various industrial complexes, the military industrial complex, the intelligence complex, the prison industrial complex, big agra, the Monsanto folks, big pharma, corporate media, Apple, electronics, they're all kind of subsumed, but it's all about money. Nothing but. There's no ideology. It's not about presenting or preserving or promoting the American way. It's not about our values. It's not about the votes. Not about the franchise. Not about liberty. Deep state has nothing to do with that. Deep state has nothing to do with it. There are some philosophical branches. There are some ideologies that really, in fact, do believe in something. Neoconservatism. The actual, prototypical, actual Straussian, Leo Strauss, you know, those folks. Libertarian, well, it's a front. Libertarians are a front for kind of a neoliberal, that Mont Pelerin, von Mises, Hayek, you know, Milton Friedman, Rand, and Ron Paul, those are covers.
Libertarians don't tend to be Christian.
Though Ron Paul said some good things, and though Rand Paul has said some good things. Remember, you're going to find everybody every now and then saying something that, well, I can live with that one. No, that's one thing you agree with. That doesn't mean you are blood brothers. But let us not get off the track. The deep state. Think oligarchs. That's really what it is. Money. I'm going to say this over and over again. The people who want Trump out, the people that want Trump out, and there are people who will stop at nothing. There are assassins. There are jackals. There are rogue elements to this. Dangerous people out there. Ask the Clintons. But it's all based not on Trump's ideology, not on Trump's personality. It's all about money and power structure. If there was no such thing, nobody would care. Whenever we do something in this country, it is about money. Every military action, every foreign adventure, every example of imperialism that we do, that we exhibit, it's all about money. It's about control. And not money for us. Now listen carefully. Not money that you and I will enjoy. Not money that will make America strong. Not money that will make our country strong. It's not that we're going into Iran, or excuse me, Iraq. Don't rule that out. I hope not. But Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam actually may have had a little bit of ideological purity in there. But today, Afghanistan, the color revolutions, it's not to benefit us. Libya didn't benefit us. It's about money. It's about power. It's about control. And the deep state, remember, the rogue state, the shadow government, the ruling class, call it what you want. Let's just give it a name. Okay? Like when you say so-and-so, he's sick, you know, he's not feeling well, he caught a bug. We'll just use a term to just collectively refer to so many variations. Now, the next thing I want you to know, and listen to me, you see this? This is your ticket to more knowledge than you will ever be able to amass. You are going to become so confused, so absolutely worn down with data that you will sit back sometimes and say, I'm never going to be able to grasp this. Good.
Amen.
Good. Step back. Take a deep breath and understand you're on the right path, grasshopper. Don't worry. You're probably a late bloomer. You've been asleep most of your life. You didn't know this. And I'm speaking now to the first timer, the first person who said, wow, I'm not going to overwhelm you. I'm not going to hit you with the stuff that'll blow your mind. But start off with a deep state. Understand what that means. And also, truly grasp the notion that this is the first time that people who never would have ever gotten near this now feel that it's okay to refer to it because they see this activity that's happening regarding Trump. Donald Trump listen carefully,
you can stop there, Jared,
is responsible for.
Wow, huh? Wow. What do you think?
Not bad at all.
Yeah. Encapsulated. He's over the target because remember, as somebody put down here in the chat, money is the devil's currency. The love of money is the root of all evil. We're looking at the root of what's going on. And so people are having a trouble. They're having trouble believing this because they just don't believe that people can be that evil. But it's that money. It's the money. It's the money that's fueling Planned Parenthood. It's the money that's getting politicians not to do the right thing. It's the money. It's the money. And they're all bought and paid for. And their loyalty doesn't lie to those who elected them. Oh, yes, it does. Because it's the money that elected them. And so they go into office. They tell you John McCain tells you we're going to end Obamacare. But he doesn't really mean it because he's in the pocket of the Chamber of Commerce, and he's in the pocket of all these other people. And so he's representing the people who paid for his election. He's not representing the people. Folks, this deep state is so real, and it's so Luciferian, and it's so anti-God, and so anti-truth. And praise the Lord, people are beginning to wake up. Who wants in here? Somebody wants in here this morning. I know you do.
Well, that's why.
Well, all about money, brother. I'm done.
Go ahead, John.
Well, that's why there are some countries that when they start losing the common man over the internet, they close down the internet so they can't keep in communication with like-minded people.
Amen. That's why we're seeing the sin. The can I say it? I'm going to say it. Fellas, there's deep religion. There's deep religion. So much of what we've been taught isn't true. And Russ Dizdar shows up in Lima, Ohio, and it should have been a standing room only. Cars lined up and down the freeway. Joel Osteen would have drawn 1 million people free. And Dizdar's there. And he's given information that the church needs to understand what's going on, and nobody cares. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We don't know. We don't care. We win in the end. Not understanding the locomotive that's coming down the tracks towards us, having no idea what's heading that way. What time is it? Oh, I got 7 minutes. Come on, somebody else jump in here. I hear my cat. The cat's getting used to being back in here.
Hey, how about Debbie Wasserman Shelton, her stupid ITA, huh?
Money, right? Now, They bring in these Muslims, right, to run the. They bring in the Muslims to run the Democratic Party. Come on, they do.
Right.
And now they got to pay. Now they got to pay blood money to keep them quiet. Right. Right.
Right.
Well, they love the nation though, don't they? They love America.
Dave, they're going to try this narrative. They're going to try to say that Debbie Wasserman Schultz was a victim of Imran Iwan, and that's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, she wasn't a victim. She knew exactly what she was doing. Now, guys, I don't know if you saw this. I believe somebody is with the Holy Spirit. I believe. You laugh all you want. I don't care. Trump ain't on the devil's team. Now, the Lord, I don't know how the Lord's going to use him, but he's not on the devil's team. And do you know Trump said something when he was down in Huntington, West Virginia, last Thursday, I think it was, Thursday or Friday, I don't remember which, that will change the whole narrative. And he has to pound that narrative. You know what it is? Trump, for the first time, spoke these words, that the deep state was trying to overturn an election. It's really what's going on. They're trying to overturn an election. But it's the first time he said it. He's trying to tell those deplorables And the American citizens, your vote doesn't matter because there's somebody else who's really in charge of the government. And you people elected Donald Trump. You people elected me, Trump said. And there's a group of people out there that are trying to overturn an election. He has to harp in on that, see. He has to harp in. He has to let everybody know the whole Russian thing, the purpose of the Russian thing is to overturn an election. But that's the whole thing. Everything that we've seen has been to overturn an election. Why? Because there's a battle of the two seats that's gone on right before us. And if you can't understand that Donald Trump is representing the good guys, I hear from e-guys on Facebook all the time. Oh, coach, you're deceived. You're deceived. He's deeply tied in. He's just playing a role. Are you serious? This guy could be out playing golf and riding on his yacht. Why would anybody want to go through what he's gone through? And the ones who should support him, how much time I got, Jared? Yes, thank you, Lord. Pull up it, Jared. The ones ought to be supporting him is us. We, the people, ought to be supporting him. But no, because we're so damn stupid. I'm sorry to use the word. We're so damn stupid that they convince us that he's bad, not very presidential, not doing the right thing. Mario Murillo, down at the bottom, Jared. Down at the bottom. Mario Murillo. He surfaced again. Hope for our battered president. There's no disrespect intended in the title. No one can deny he's being battered. This is about why there is hope for our president, but true hope is anchored in truth. There'll be no Pollyanna pep rally here. It looks bad, real bad. We begin by facing the facts. I'm going to try to do this quickly, Jared. Scroll on down. We know that Obama and Hillary loyalists deeply embedded in Washington, the deep state, are working fiercely to destroy President Trump. They're using the dark arts, not just on him, but on you. We know that a soulless media has discarded all pretense of objectivity. There are minions of mindless coup. They are no longer capable of even thinking and a decent thought toward Trump. We know that Trump is struggling to drain the swamp because some Republican congressmen have stuck a hose back in it, recycling the swamp water. We know that Trump make believers who once supported him abandon ship at the first sign of trouble. We know that forces behind Mueller and Comey will witch hunt Trump for concocted crimes and refuse to try Hillary for actual crimes. We also know that during his overthrow of freedom, much of the church naps under the influence of melatonin ministers. And yet there's a great hope for our president. I'm shouting this in your ear. Have we forgotten that powerful friend? Scroll down, Jared. Folks, that powerful friend is prayer. It's prayer. This is what Benjamin Franklin said during the battle in independence. He said this: in the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. And all of us who engaged in this struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? So Mario Murillo says, can I introduce you to that powerful friend? Consider these points. Even if you're the only one praying, it can change everything. Next one, Jared. I don't have time to read all through it. In the New Testament, one man's prayer brought the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. Two, even if you do not know how to ask, the Holy Spirit will pray through you. Romans 8:36, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as well, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be in. And my final point is the most powerful and encouraging. God told us to pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Why would we expend our energy on worry when we can pray? Why would we sit paralyzed watching the news when we could be praying? You by yourself have the power to ask and receive. Why would you delay praying? God has told us that he is pleased when we pray for our leaders. Isn't that the most powerful motivation of all? Isn't it time we remember our powerful friend? The church is so deceived. The church is believing Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and all the media, and deception is running rampant. The church that talks so much about prayer but doesn't pray has this tool right in front of us. God has given us a window of opportunity, church. The heathen are raging. The people are imagining a vain and worthless God who can't do anything about it. Be of good cheer. Lord's in control. We'll see you tomorrow.